gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to episode 24 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa. You can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you didn't know, South Harmon is sponsored by Manscaped. If you use our code SHFF20 at checkout, you can get 20% off and free shipping on any Manscaped order. Once again, that's the code SHFF20 in order to get 20% off and free shipping. Last week, during my Tight Ends Don't Matter segment, I talked about how there's a reason that I was saying I don't want to use any tight ends in the top 52 of most rostered tight ends for this initial week one selection. The reason for that is because I have pulled some data on the number of players that are rostered on a team. And so what I have done is I have gone ahead and looked at the number of players that are rostered across all the teams in a league where it is a super flex start 10 through 12, and it is PPR with zero tight end premium. That is the exact kind of league where you want to play the tight ends don't matter strategy, where you want to be turning the value from your tight ends into the other positions. So, in order to look at, okay, what tight ends are going to be available on waivers that I can use for the Tight Ends Don't Matter segment, you want to go ahead and be choosing players that are outside of that rostered range. For this year, that happens to be the tight end number is 52 at week one. But before I fully get into doing the Tight Ends Don't Matter segment for this week, I wanted to compare what those numbers looked like last year in week one versus this year in week one, and then also where those shifted over the course of last year's season. So that way we have an idea of what this might look like as the season goes on, and I will be tracking this as the season goes on. I'll be giving you periodic updates through every episode that cover, hey, this is how the number of quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, how many are rostered on each team, and how that changes over the course of the season. So last year, in week one, keep in mind this is lineup, start 10 through 12 leagues, okay? You have quarterbacks, there were 57 rostered in week one. Running backs, there were 102. Wide receivers, 130. And tight ends, there was 51. So what that means is you look at that quarterback number, 57. We know at the beginning of last season that on average, there were almost any quarterback on a two deep strategy that was basically in mostly full effect. There were still some quarterbacks not rostered, and I'm sure there were also some quarterbacks where there were extra ones being rostered. You talk about how in Arizona, Kyler Murray was essentially not on the quarterbacks, any quarterback on a two deep strategy at the beginning of the year, because we had Josh Dobbs and Clayton Tune on that team. So that would account for three. And you also had some other teams where you were rostering that third quarterback for a different reason. So Trey Lance on the Cowboys, he was rostered a lot last year, and he's probably rostered a lot this year still too. Because everyone wants Trey Lance in terms of if he does end up starting, he'll be really good for fantasy because of that rushing floor. So realistically, looking at this quarterback number, it is something where there was some opportunity in order to get backup quarterbacks that were not being rostered on all the teams. And that was a hole that we had, and that was something that by the end of the season, we recognized that and we were starting to plug that. So over the course of the season, by the time we ended the year in week 17, We had the number of quarterbacks on each team was 60, or in each league was 64. So on average, 7 additional quarterbacks were owned by the end of the season. And those 7 ended up being a lot of the quarterbacks that you weren't necessarily considering. So that would have been your Clayton Tune. That was also probably like your Tommy DeVito. And Geno Smith was looking pretty bad, so I'm sure Drew Locke got picked up a bunch. And like guys like that, where over the course of the season, we were slowly adding these quarterbacks in. And so that increase in the quarterback roster number went up by 7. And that is the largest increase last year. And that primarily has to do with that any quarterback on a 2-deep strategy coming into play. At the beginning of last season, that wasn't really something a lot of people were subscribing to. Instead, they were subscribing to any running back on a 53. And if you look at that total running back number of 102, that makes sense. There's 32 teams in the NFL. And so, on average, we're looking at slightly more than 3 running backs owned per team. So, basically, every single running back is being rostered. And so, the next phase to go through was, in fact, starting to roster those quarterbacks. Now, if we look at the running back position, it was 102, as I mentioned, where there were slightly more than 3 per team. When we ended the year, that number actually went down to 99. So that was somewhere some people were dropping running backs, potentially running backs that didn't show any promise. Maybe we kind of started to realize that, hey, some of these teams, even if the running back gets into that starting job or the number 2 job, it's not going to be useful to us. Some of those really bad teams, the Giants being one of those, their offense was just so bad, and same with the Raiders. It outside of Josh Jacobs and Zamir White, like, do you really care about having Brandon Bolden or Amir Abdullah? Not really. And so when we were looking at some of these teams, it was, okay, you know what? We don't need to keep those guys rostered because, A, the chance that Brandon Bolden was going to even get an opportunity to play relied on multiple injuries ahead of him. And then even when he did play, it wasn't going to be that impactful. So we decided, hey, we'll cut him for the opportunity to get a backup quarterback. And so that's where some of that came across the fantasy space. The wide receiver number is kind of interesting. So in week 1, we were rostering 130 wide receivers across the NFL. And by the time we ended the year, we were at 129. Now, this is a little different than how I tried to roster on my lineup leagues. And I've kind of seen this pattern a little bit in my teams. So I'm trying to roster as many backup quarterbacks and as many backup running backs as I possibly can. I'm trying to play the any running back on a 53 and the any quarterback on a 2-deep, essentially to the extreme. And all I want is I want to have like 7 wide receivers in that wide receiver threshold, whatever that is for my league, whether that's top 50, top 60, somewhere in there. I'm trying to have usually 7 or 8 wide receivers. But some leagues, I have the problem of so many other people are playing those same quarterback and running back strategies that I'm essentially forced into, hey, I need to roster all these other wide receivers just to make a use of that roster spot. I don't have the opportunity to continue to roster quarterbacks and running backs because they're all already owned. And when I look at, okay, what does the average league have? The average league has that number of wide receivers that is significantly greater than the running backs and even more greater than the quarterbacks. Like, my ideal for a lot of my teams is, okay, I'll have 7 or 8 wide receivers, I'll have 1 or 2 tight ends, and then I'll probably have, like, 9 or 10 running backs and 9 or 10 quarterbacks. Like, so that those numbers of running backs and quarterbacks are greater than wide receivers. That's how I like to roster construct in the kinds of leagues that this data is coming from. But the reason that works is because the average league is rostering 130 wide receivers. They're rostering significantly more wide receivers than the running backs and quarterbacks, so there's room for me to pick up some of those guys. Instead, what I see is that a lot of teams, they're playing that kind of revolving door at the bottom of their wide receiver position, and that number at the beginning of the year being 130, the end of the year being 129, there were a lot of wide receivers that we picked up over the course of last season. And the fact that those wide receivers were coming onto their teams and the wide receiver number did not increase, that means that, hey, we're looking at a situation where these wide receivers are something that the rest of the league is fine churning and burning. Instead, for us, we are playing more of a, hey, we'll churn and burn running backs, and we want top-tier wide receivers. So it kind of shows a little bit of that philosophy that a lot of people have. The wide receivers tend to be flashier. They tend to be the kinds of players where they have that boom week, everyone wants to get them. But we need to try and stay away from that. We need to try and stay away from that bias and instead focus on making sure that the wide receivers that we are rostering, we don't have to worry about that churn and burn. Let the rest of our league do that churn and burn, and instead do our churn and burn at the positions where there is some ability to do that. Do that at the quarterback position, do that at the running back position, and be able to get some value out of those. Now, the tight end position, it's going to sound pretty similar to what I was saying we were starting this year with. So last year in week one, we had 51 tight ends rostered per team, and then we ended the year with 53. So what that says to me is that the tight ends, we are more or less pretty comfortable with the number that we have. Most people have a target number with the tight ends, kind of like they do with those wide receivers, and they are churning and burning the bottom tier of tight ends if they need to. Now, that's where my tight ends don't matter strategy comes into effect. It's that the difference between the tight end who is rostered in that 54th position, say at the end of the year, is not too different than the tight end that you are playing as like the tight end 12 overall. And the NFL, it's so hard to predict who they are going to have as their top tight ends every single week that you are almost better suited to just recognizing, all right, let me just look at something simple like snap trends or number of routes run and just use that in more of a reactive sense. And because the tight end position, especially in these kinds of leagues where you don't have a tight end premium, where you are only playing one per week, if you just catch a touchdown, you get lucky with that. Or you even just catch like three passes, but one of them was a 20-yard pass across the middle of the field. And so your number of yards for the week happens to be like 35 or 40 this time. That is now something that is putting you into that top 12 range of tight ends. You scored 7.5 points. And like, great, that 7.5 points is tight end 13, tight end 11, somewhere in there. And so when we are looking at, okay, what do we want out of our tight ends? We can just look for those identifying factors. And obviously the top 6, 7, 8 tight ends last year, they all had those numbers and they looked great. And that's why they were predominantly owned. That's why they were predominantly started, etc. But if you don't have one of those guys, you can play and still make up a decent amount of that production just by identifying that in the rest of the range of tight ends. You don't need to be working on, hey, these are the tight ends that is the number 10 guy. Because that difference in the number 10 guy versus the end is not too much. And that number 10 guy, he might put up zeros for you. We saw how many people got burned by Luke Musgrave putting up a zero this past week. And that's just something that happens to the guys in that range. When you have Luke Musgrave as, hey, he's a top-end tight end too. A lot of people were probably going into the season with him because somebody else in their league has gotten two of the top 10 tight ends, and so they weren't able to get one of them. So they were like, oh, Luke Musgrave, he did really good last year, and so they plugged him in, and he comes out and he posts a zero for you. So when you're looking at things like that, when you're looking at, hey, how volatile is this tight end position? That's the reason that I tend to not focus too much on them. And our leagues tend to expect that, hey, we're going to roster somewhere slightly more than 50 guys, but that means that there's tons of opportunity for tight ends who might have a good week, might have a good matchup, etc., in order to hit your lineup. And so we saw that last year. I did my tight ends don't matter episode all the way back in episode 2, explaining that strategy, explaining, hey, this is what we want to be doing with the tight ends. And that's why I have the tight ends don't matter segment at the end of every single episode this season. So now let's take a look at these numbers and take a look at what we're starting this season with. So this year, we're starting with 58 quarterbacks owned. That is right back in line with the quarterback numbers from last year. And so what am I recognizing from this? I'm recognizing that we have a lot of ability to pick up these backup quarterbacks in our leagues. I noticed this when I was doing my 53-man cutdowns, and I was looking at who was available on waivers, and I got a ton of shares of Cooper Rush, Josh Johnson. I even got some Mitchell Trubisky's that were floating out there. Like, there's a lot of players who, oh, and Skylar Thompson, he's another one that was just out there on waivers for a bunch of leagues, but everyone kind of identified him pretty quickly. But when you're looking at, hey, these guys are available in a lot of your leagues, you're able to go out and pick them up, whether it's this kind of format where you have a 12-team lineup, or even whether it's best ball leagues. Like, I notice a bunch of best ball leagues where I'm a rebuilding team. I want to have zeros that might turn into something valuable for somebody else. And so I went and picked up a bunch of these backup quarterbacks. If they end up starting over the course of the season, all I need to do is sell them to a contender for a third, two-fourths, something like just something of value where it gets the points off my team. I'm essentially taking the zeros, helping myself tank week after week, and that is really beneficial to me. So that is a giant hole that we have where we've regressed. We learned about the any quarterback on a two deep last year, but the community hasn't really caught on to that like we thought they might. The running back number is still at 99. That's what we ended the year with last year. And so that means that we've started to realize as a community, hey, maybe not every single running back on any running back on a 53 is as valuable. We are getting better at identifying these are the offenses that are not as good. We don't need to roster the practice squad guys on every single team. Like, we can kind of cut out some of those guys. Obviously, if you're looking at the running backs that are on the 49ers and the Dolphins, yeah, you're going to want to roster all those guys. But if you're looking at the running backs that are on the Giants, that are on the Raiders, that are on the Panthers, that's not really something that you want to be paying a bunch of attention to. And so instead, we will be just rostering other players. And where that has actually gone into this past offseason is the wide receiver position. If you've listened to a lot of Scott Connor like I do, he's been talking about this wide receiver bubble. We've been putting a lot of value into wide receivers this past offseason. And it seems like people are chasing it, even at the bottom. We see the wide receiver number's gone up to 134, which is an increase in 5 from last year. So what that means to me is that, hey, we are chasing trying to get these wide receivers to be valuable to us. We want to see the best out of all of these rookies, more than likely. That's probably where the extra 5 comes from because of the strong wide receiver rookie class. But obviously not all these guys are going to hit. A lot of them have value because they're young. And so you can see some of this in terms of what players we are rostering that maybe didn't do anything here in week one. If I know that on a lot of my teams, I had a lot of Devontae Walker. He wasn't even active for week one. Coach's decision, did not play. Brendan Rice, another coach's decision, did not play. Same with Javon Baker. Like, you start looking at these wide receivers and it's like, yeah, we're rostering these guys because we can see the potential to production, but we need to be willing to cut bait pretty quick here. Obviously, they aren't that good of a wide receiver if they are not being active on the week one roster. They might get active later in the season when injuries start to hit the team and whatnot, but think about what their role already is on the team. They are already at the point where the game plan doesn't include them, that they need to be active on game day. They can be inactive. They're just there to fill in when there's an injury, but they invested enough capital in them where they think the player is good enough to not be exposed to letting another team pick them up off of waivers and try and get them, and they can try and get them back on their practice squad. So when you look at those sorts of things of, okay, how are we valuing this entire position? That gives even more credence to, we are looking at the wide receiver position. We're giving value to these players who shouldn't be valued. The 134th wide receiver wasn't even rostered a year ago. Now we're actually rostering them. And we saw from last year that that receiver number did not change. It went from 130 to 129. But we know we had a lot of turnover at that wide receiver position, especially towards the bottom parts. When we're talking about who was filling in slots, we had injuries, all sorts of things like that. And that means that we're going to have a similar thing this year. The fantasy points of a position don't really change too much year over year. But how we perceive them, how the market values them, that does. We overreact to the previous year. And last year, having top wide receivers was valuable, and now we're all chasing that. Tight end seems to be the only position that is relatively unchanged. This year, we're starting with 52 tight ends. And that is right in the middle. Week one last year, we had 51, and we ended the year with 53. So we seem to be pretty consistent with tight ends. The community hasn't really changed too much. The tight ends don't matter strategy has not really taken a large hold. And I think that's just something that is going to happen in general, because the tight ends don't matter strategy, it works here when we have 52 tight ends rostered. But if more people start playing the tight ends don't matter strategy, those roster positions have to go somewhere. And so let's say you have four people in your league playing tight ends don't matter. All of a sudden, now that 52 number, let's say it goes down to 35, 40. Well, now you have 12 to 17 players that need to be rostered at other positions. And so, sure, I can put in another six into the quarterback, make that 64, so every quarterback who's a starter and a backup is rostered. Maybe even put in another couple extra, because we need to cover guys like J.J. McCarthy, who are already out for the year, but obviously he has a lot of long-term dynasty value. And then you need to roster more running backs or receivers. Well, we already have identified that the number of running backs, like, the we're talking about rostering guys that are on practice squads, which we're already at the point of doing. We're talking about trying to roster even more receivers in an overvalued bubble of a position. So realistically, there isn't going to be a point where the tight ends get below this 52 target number. And if you end up seeing a league where it is below that, you might just be able to roster some extra back-end tight ends and play a little bit of a better version of tight ends don't matter. You can roster some of those guys that are in that 40 to 50 range, or even pick up some of those guys who are in that range when their week comes. I know that there's going to be some guys that are in that range that you cannot get when big explosions happen. For example, this week's Foster Moreau. I mentioned him last week that, hey, Foster Moreau is somebody you might be interested in. Well, I can tell you right now, he's not going to be able to be chosen in the Tight Ends Don't Matter this week because he got picked up a ton. And so you are able to play a little bit more with that. Instead of having one tight end for your Tight Ends Don't Matter, maybe make all three or four of your guys that you're rostering or guys that I'm talking about each week. You can rotate that position a little bit more if those tight ends are not rostered to the level that the other positions are in terms of your normal league. Because what we're trying to do is get a little bit ahead of where the market is shifting. Right now, the market is shifted where these tight ends are not being valued as much because we had so many good tight ends last year and that real ceiling wasn't there. We didn't have the Travis Kelce that was completely league beating. We had Sam Laporta, who while he was good, he was nowhere near the level as Travis Kelce as previous years. So when we're looking at, okay, how do these positions value to each other? The total numbers rostered aren't too different, but how we perceive them is very different. And so we need to keep that in mind for our overall strategies in terms of making sure that we aren't overreacting. We're recognizing, hey, there is a little bit of a wide receiver bubble. We have not changed anything at quarterback, so I can still continue to roster more backups and know that they're going to be valuable because when people need a quarterback to start, I have them all available. The running backs, we can pick and choose a little bit smarter of these are the ones we want and these are the ones that we don't. We kind of overreacted when we initially started rostering all the backup running backs, and now we're starting to pare it back a little bit and identify, okay, these are in fact the running backs that we want to have on our teams because some of these guys won't ever matter even if we have them rostered on our teams and even if the NFL has them rostered on theirs. That's my main thing for this week, is be paying attention to the markets and just understand that things are going to shift over the course of the season. And so that's why I'm bringing this up now. Right now, already in week one, we've had a slight change. We've had the number of running backs go down by one and the number of wide receivers go up by one. And that is probably a result of what had happened in week one. The big news that's causing a lot of waiver transactions is the fact that Puka Nacua went down with injury, and so everyone is trying to grab the Rams wide receiver that they think is going to take over. A lot of people have that as Tyler Johnson, and so they need somebody to drop. And right now, at this beginning point of the season, the easiest thing to drop is that extra running back that is third on their depth chart that didn't see any touches. I know I dropped some D'Ernest Johnsons in order to try and pick up some Tyler Johnsons and players like that. I am contributing to this number being increased the way it is. But that is what we saw over week one. But we might see this continue over the course of the season. We might see, hey, when the market realizes something, all of a sudden we're going to change all these numbers, and we'll be able to recognize how strongly the market is reacting to various situations as the season goes on. So just pay attention to the market, and this is going to be some of the reactive data we can take a look at to see, hey, is there still an advantage to be played here, or do we need to go opposite? That brings us to the Tight Ends Don't Matter section of the episode. So first, let's recap what happened last week. My choice of tight end ended up being Johnny Munt, which he wasn't as good as we thought he might be. He only got 2 receptions for 15 yards on a total of 3 targets. And Josh Oliver did end up getting the start. I did call out that he was listed first on the depth chart. But Josh Oliver only had 27 snaps on offense compared to 29 for Munt. So that is still a win in terms of what I recognize. Hey, this Johnny Munt is going to be a major factor. He outsnapped the presumed starter on this team and the listed starter. So he is still impactful. And I had a major hit in my other options. One of my other options was Foster Moreau. I said that he was, in fact, my backup option to Johnny Munt. And it ended up being that, hey, that is somebody who popped off. He ended up playing 77% of the snaps for the Saints, and he had 4 receptions for 43 yards and a touchdown, getting him 14.3 fantasy points. That is an awesome result, and so if you were lucky enough to have chosen Foster Moreau instead of my Johnny Munt, or you just got him off of waivers this week, that is somebody that I am more than comfortable continuing to play, at least until something changes on that team. I'm not going to continue covering him past this point. I'm not going to dwell on tight ends that are not part of my mainline strategy here, but it is somebody that I want to make sure that you know that if you have him, just pay attention, make sure that he does not start getting overrun by Jawan Johnson or somebody else on the team where he's losing his snap share. He should do just fine for at least a while, and that is somebody I'm more than fine continuing to play on my team, unless somebody comes calling. If somebody comes calling and says, hey, I want that Foster Moreau from you, I'll give you a draft pick for him, or I'll give you something that you want maybe at another position. Maybe they're giving you a running back who's playing that week and you have a running back hole that you need to fill. That is something I'm more than fine trading Foster Moreau away at that point and coming back to the tight ends don't matter strategy in order to get more value onto your team in your starting lineup at other positions. Because without that touchdown, you're looking at somebody that was 8.3 points, and that's only off of a total of 4 receptions. That 4 receptions is kind of high for most tight ends. That might not be high for maybe how Foster Moreau is used in this offense, but at the moment, that is not something that I'm willing to take the chance on that 4 is his average. Most of the times we see the average is 2 or 3 receptions. And so we don't want to take a bet on a potential outlier of a week. We want to take the value for the players when it becomes available. So going through the tight ends that were talked about in the waiver wire pod this week that are still available outside of the top 52. We're looking at Johnny Munt is no longer available. He is up at tight end 50, but because we used him last week, he is still available for us. Jordan Akins is somebody that I am looking at as being a potential target for this week. Foster Moreau is still at number 58, so you could theoretically still get him in a lot of your leagues that you're trying to play the tight ends don't matter strategy in. Josh Oliver is outside of the top 60. And Julian Hill and Grant Calcaterra were both mentioned as potentially more longer-term guys that you might want to target who could potentially become useful if injuries were to happen, or in Julian Hill's case, like he was just being used most often as the tight ends. Miami's tight end situation is so weird. I am staying away from that one for now. But I am primarily looking at either Munt, Akins, or Moreau as my choices for this week. And I am actually going to play a little bit of a difference here. So usually I choose one tight end. I'm going to kind of flex those rules a little bit. I'm going to call it out right now. I would want to play Jordan Akins for this week. I really like the potential chemistry that he has with Deshaun Watson, the fact that he's going to be the number one tight end, and what he ended up doing this past week, that I want to focus in on. He is my top play for week 2. But we know that Jordan Akins may not be useful once David Njoku comes back. And so once David Njoku comes back, I want to be able to flip to somebody else. And that somebody else that I would like to flip to is Foster Moreau. So I'm going to roster Jordan Akins, and then I'm going to have Foster Moreau on my bench. I'm going to roster 2 this week. I'm going to take 1 extra roster spot for a tight end, and I'm going to have Foster Moreau available for the next week. And the reason I'm calling that out now is because I want to have him available when Jordan Akins is no longer available. Now, Foster Moreau, if he continues to do well, he might become not available because of the expectation that other people are going to want him. But at the moment, Foster Moreau is a strong enough contender. He is somebody that if you don't have two roster spots available for tight ends, I would just go for Foster Moreau. But in terms of how I'm going to keep track of it for this season, in terms of the total number of points scored week by week, I'm going to have that be Jordan Akins for this week. That is how I'm going to score it when we're doing like our end of year review, or even like when I do a mid-season review and that sort of thing. So for the final update on, hey, how has this strategy been going for me so far? Obviously, I only had 1 week, but I had Johnny Munt, who ended up being tight end 27. So he scored 3.5 points. That's my total for the season. Tight end 27 in points scored, warp, everything. It's all the same right now because it's literally only been 1 week. But that's where I'm at the moment. And we will see what we're looking at next week with our Jordan Akins pick. Before we get to the end of the episode, I want to shout out another South Harmon sponsor of Ultimate Autographs. I haven't done a read for them in a couple weeks now, but don't forget about Ultimate Autographs, where you're seeing some of these players pop off over the course of the season. You're like, man, I need to have something from these guys. If you head over to Signed Shit, that's signedsh.it, and use the promo code HARMON15 at checkout, you'll get 15% off your order. Once again, use the code HARMON15 at checkout, get 15% off, and get some awesome sports memorabilia. Any space that you have where you want to remember, hey, this guy, he did awesome for my fantasy team this year. That's everything that I have for you this week. Come back next week where we will be covering all sorts of things going on in the fantasy space in terms of how people are reacting now that we have 2 weeks into the season. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge.